This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehiz Wuhibi in Washington, and coming up this hour on Africa News Tonight.
What the French are trying to do is to physically move all of the people out of the jungle camp in Calais and put them in reception areas, reception camps right across the country.
That's reporter Catherine Field following developments in Calais. Details coming up. Also, as many as 83 Nigerian soldiers may have drowned in the Niger River after being attacked by Boko Haram militants. And the government of Zimbabwe is trying hard to attract foreign investment to revive the country's troubled economy. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story this hour: French authorities have begun evacuating thousands of migrants from an overcrowded makeshift camp in Calais called the Jungle. Police are on the scene as migrants begin boarding buses for new locations in France. Reporter Catherine Field is following developments in Calais. From Paris, she spoke to VOA's Jody Capua about the migrant camp.
What the French are trying to do is to physically move all of the people out of the jungle camp in Calais and put them in reception areas, reception camps right across the country. It's very difficult to say exactly how many people are in the camp. Some estimates have it at around 6,000, others around 8,000. But certainly what the French have done is, starting from first light on Monday, they got everybody who wanted to leave to line up, register with the officials, and they were then put on buses to these various camps. So far, they've had at least 1,000 people register and get on those buses. Now, if you like, this is the easy part, because the people who are registering and getting on those buses are the ones who want to leave the jungle. They realize winter is coming. They realize that sanitation there is really appalling. Health-wise, it's just not a very good place to be with winter coming. The difficulty is, of course, a lot of people there don't want to leave. Their dream is still to get to the United Kingdom, and they don't want to move away from that northern area of France. So what police will do with people who don't want to move, will they physically move them, put them onto buses, or will these people just disappear into the forested areas around there, wait for this operation to end, and then come back and set up a new camp?
Catherine, where are the people who want to leave being taken?
They have the opportunity to go anywhere across France. I mean, virtually every area of France has set up one of these small reception areas. But the point is that each of these reception areas is actually somewhere where they will go and live for the winter. They will not only have housing and food, and they'll have a chance to get education and possibly be offered your chance for job training, but also they'll be able to put forward their papers if they want to be able to apply for asylum. Now, this whole process could take several months. If at the end of it these people do not meet the criteria to be given asylum here in France, they could well be deported back to the countries from where they came.
And what countries did they come from? And give us a brief history of the jungle. How long has it been there?
In various forms, the jungle has been in Calais in this particular form since about April 2015. But about 10 years before that, you had a different camp nearby, Songat. And you mustn't forget also there are other smaller camps along that northern French coast. Example in Dunkirk, you have got another camp there that's still operating, and there's several thousand people there. In general, the people in these camps are from Eritrea, Afghanistan, and Sudan.
Now, I understand the bulldozers may move in tomorrow. Is that correct?
That's correct. What police are doing today is getting as many people out of the way as possible and onto buses. They hope by the end of the day to have 2,400, perhaps even 3,000 people onto the buses. So first thing then on Tuesday morning, they're going to bring in the bulldozers, bring in the demolishing teams. What they're trying to do, they say, is to sort of just make the area of the camp smaller and smaller, so as it really will become uncomfortable for people who want to stay. Now, this is where we risk seeing more violence, because earlier this year, when police moved in and did exactly the same operation, they tried to close areas of the camp. They were met with a lot of violence. There was a lot of stones. Police moved in with tear gas. There were injuries on both sides. So police reckon they're going to have at least 1,200 police and gendarmes up there for that operation in case there's any violence. And at the same time, they're asking for the NGOs to stay around. If there are people that are uncertain about where they're going, what their rights are, that the NGOs will still be there working alongside French officials to explain to them, it's just not safe for you anymore to live in this jungle camp, and it's less and less safe for you to be trying to jump on trucks that are speeding through Calais heading towards the port.
That's reporter Catherine Field in Paris. She spoke to VOA's Jody Capua. Meanwhile, thousands of African migrants rescued at sea this week have arrived in Italy. At the same time, Italian authorities report more criminal gangs are exploiting migrants. Reporter Josephine McKenna is following these and other developments from Rome. She spoke to VOA's Jody Capua.
Well, today we're seeing around 4,200 migrants landing in various Italian ports after they were rescued in recent days. And unfortunately, one of the boats that was landing in the Sicilian city of Palermo is carrying 17 corpses on board. So that gives you an indication of, again, the dangers crossing the Mediterranean. We've seen a total of 6,500 migrants landing in Italy in the past week. So that's still a huge number, and quite high in particular for this time of year, because normally we start to see quite a slowdown with the cooler months.
Now, Josephine, I understand that Italian authorities are also again talking about criminal gangs exploiting the migrants. What are you hearing today?
Well, police in Catania, the Sicilian city of Catania, have issued arrest warrants for 15 Nigerians accused of recruiting and transporting women from sub-Saharan Africa, forcing them into prostitution and handing them over to people once they land in Italy. Police claim to have found evidence of organized crime connections with bases in Nigeria, Libya, northern Italy and Campania around Naples, as well as Sicily. And the allegation is that these women are being recruited under the kind of spell or voodoo ritual and forcing them into some kind of contract. It's not the first time we've heard of this in Italy, but it's certainly quite unusual for the police to be closing in on those that they believe are responsible. It's quite disturbing to see how these young girls are being trafficked against their will and in very difficult conditions and being handed over for prostitution.
Now, Josephine, is this prostitution going on in Italy, or do the criminal gangs try to get these young Nigerian women into other European countries as well?
Well, it seems that the gangs are dedicated to moving these women, sponsoring them, if you like, through Africa. They seem to be called trolleys. That's the word that's used for them, which sounds so dreadful. And forced, once they arrive in Tripoli, basically to go aboard a certain vessel and then affected by sexual violence, often on the way, deprived of any kind of rights, and then handed over once they arrive in Italy.
That's reporter Josephine McKenna from Rome. She spoke to VOA's Jody Capua. A small plane carrying French officials crashed on takeoff today in Malta. All five on board were killed. The plane was scheduled to fly near the Libyan coast. The twin prop aircraft took off from Malta International Airport, banked to the right, slammed into the ground and exploded. They were monitoring the smuggling of illegal drugs and migrants. The three passengers were officials of France's Defense Ministry. The two-man crew was employed by CAE Aviation in Luxembourg. Nigerian army officials say as many as 83 missing soldiers may have drowned in the Niger River. The officers have told the AP that soldiers jumped into the river during a Boko Haram attack October 17th on Gashigar, a village on the Niger border. More than 20 soldiers were rescued. Officials say morale was low among the soldiers who were unfed and faced attackers with superior firepower. In Kenya, the presidential spokesman says the cabinet has not yet decided whether to join Burundi and South Africa in leaving the International Criminal Court. The Associated Press quotes Manoha Isipisu as saying the final decision rests with the cabinet. Parliament issued resolutions in 2010 and 2013 to withdraw from the ICC. Over the weekend, the ICC asked Burundi and South Africa to reconsider their decision to leave, saying the court is needed to fight human rights abuses. You are listening to Africa News Tonight, live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington. Sixteen past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. Thousands of migrants are being evacuated from an overcrowded makeshift camp in Calais, France, called The Jungle. And as many as 83 Nigerian soldiers may have drowned in the Niger River after being attacked by Boko Haram militants. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Republican Party presidential candidate Donald Trump says he may not accept the results of the U.S. election on November 8th. He says voter fraud could cause him to lose his fight against the Democratic Party opponent, Hillary Clinton. In Washington, reporter William Eagle recently spoke to an expert in constitutional law and voting rights about the upcoming U.S. vote.
For weeks, Trump and his supporters say voter fraud could undermine their victory.
They even want to try and rig the election at the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common.
The Trump campaign cites a 2012 study by Pew Charitable Trusts that looked at national voter rolls. The study found that nearly 2 million deceased people were still registered. But Pew blamed outdated voter rolls, and the report found that no ballots were cast illegally. Trump recently told supporters in Green Bay, Wisconsin, that people who have died 10 years ago are still voting. Josh Douglas is a professor at the University of Kentucky College of Law, specializing in election law and voting rights. He says cases of impersonating anyone, dead or alive, on the voting rolls is not only a federal crime, but also hard to do.
You'd have to go find someone who has died, find that they're still on the voter registration rolls, go show up at the polls in states that don't have a strict voter ID requirement. You show some sort of verification or your stricter form of ID. Everywhere you need to show something or sign in, and your signature can be matched with the signature you provided on your voter registration when you registered to vote. When I go in to vote in my precinct, I have to sign in that I voted before I go to the machine. So, again, you need to have some sort of mind-boggling ability to predict who hasn't showed up, who you could sign in for, who's not going to come later in the day, the ability to match your signature perfectly. And this is why Trump and other Republicans who are floating this voter fraud concern can't point to any actual evidence where it's really happened.
Trump also alleges that illegal immigrants are voting, enough to swing the outcome of an election. But Douglas says only U.S. citizens can legally register to vote, and that any names of non-citizens on the registry would likely be minimal and caused by error.
There is some suggestions that there may be some illegal immigrants on voter rolls in some states, usually by mistake, and they don't even know that they're there. Typically, when they may be interacting with a government agency for something, and as part of that, they automatically get registered to vote. There's zero evidence that these people, even if they're on the voter roll, show up to vote. There's zero evidence that there's some illegal immigrants that are nefariously trying to infiltrate the U.S. election system by covertly registering and, in addition, going to vote.
Douglas says it's also not likely that a person could vote multiple times because of the signature requirement. And he says there are other safeguards. Someone trying to commit voter fraud would likely be spotted by poll workers who stay at the polling place all day. In addition, he says, trained political party officials and pro-voting groups also monitor the ballot. Douglas says fraud could theoretically affect small local elections where fewer voters are involved. It could include dishonest poll workers or the purchase or theft of absentee and mail-in ballots. But he says there's no evidence of fraud on a large scale that could throw a state or national election. Voter intimidation could also affect election results. The Trump campaign has called on supporters to go to the polls in areas like some inner cities where he says there could be attempted fraud. Most states make provisions for citizen observers, though they usually have to be credentialed ahead of the polls. They must also not interfere in the casting of any ballots or intimidate voters.
Most states have a bubble around which you can't be campaigning, you know, whether it's 100 or 200 feet around the polling site. But, you know, they can certainly stand in that area and intimidate voters. And even the call to do this is concerning because it could intimidate voters in inner cities to not bother, to think there's going to be some sort of hassle with voting.
Douglas says voters who suspect fraud or have any problems casting their ballots will have access to voter protection teams and lawyers at the voting sites. Many state-level officials who oversee elections, including secretaries of state and governors, have come forward to say there will be no rigging under their watch. 31 out of 50 U.S. states are led by Republicans, including the swing states of North Carolina, Ohio, Wisconsin, and Florida. With just weeks left until voting, discussion and dispute over electoral fraud is expected to continue. I'm William Eagle in Washington.
The Association for Business in Zimbabwe is hosting a delegation of Swiss investors this week. Association head Lucky Malilo says delegates include the former Austrian economic consultant to Switzerland and representatives of World Vision Switzerland. A five-member business delegation from the United Kingdom arrived last week for a three-day visit and was greeted by Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa. The visits are part of a concerted effort by government and business leaders to attract foreign investment to revive the troubled Zimbabwe economy. The World Meteorological Organization reports the level of carbon dioxide emissions in the atmosphere has reached a record high this year. The increase is in part due to the powerful El Niño event, which started in 2015 and continued well into 2016. Lisa Schlein reports from the launch of WMO's annual Greenhouse Gas Bulletin in Geneva.
The World Meteorological Organization reports the concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere reached 400 parts per million for the first time in 2015 and surged to new records this year. WMO Secretary General Petteri Tala says this symbolic but significant milestone bodes ill for the planet as these CO2 emissions will stay in the atmosphere for generations.
At the moment, we are not moving in the right direction. We are actually moving in the wrong direction, and this warming potential of the planet has been growing.
Carbon dioxide results from the burning of fossil fuels and other human activity. Meteorologists say CO2 accounts for 65% of the warming effect on our climate. Two other greenhouse gases, methane and nitrous oxide, contribute about 17% and 6% respectively to the long-lived warming of Earth's climate. Talis tells VOA it is not possible to tackle climate change without tackling CO2 emissions because the lifetime of this greenhouse gas is very long.
There have been some scientific studies estimating that the return back to pre-industrial levels may take tens of thousands of years. And therefore, it's really urgent that we start reducing the emissions of carbon dioxide, and if we don't do so, then this problem will remain with us for thousands of, even tens of thousands of years.
Talas welcomes the Paris Climate Agreement, but he notes its impact may be limited as emissions reductions are voluntary and not legally binding. He says the world still has a chance to turn things around in the coming decades if it moves from political will to concrete action. He says negative trends will continue for several decades, but he adds improvements in the climate will be seen by 2060 if nations start reducing their CO2 emissions now. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Iraqi forces shelled areas outside of Mosul today as their offensive to retake the country's second largest city from Islamic State militants entered its second week. The attacks were focused near Bartella, about 15 kilometers east of Mosul. Iraqi forces, as well as Kurdish fighters, have been moving through small towns to the east and south of Mosul as they work their way closer to the city itself. Also today, Human Rights Watch called for an investigation into an airstrike last week that killed at least 13 people at a mosque near the city of Kirkuk. That strike came during an assault by Islamic State fighters, believed to be aimed at distracting Iraqi troops from the battle around Mosul. Meanwhile, Kurdish commanders claimed major advances yesterday in Bashika, located just north of Bartella, including saying their fighters had entered the town. Journalists, however, were not allowed entry, and the status of the town had not been confirmed today. The advances occurred as visiting U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter held talks in nearby Erbil with Kurdish leader Masoud Barzani and key military commanders. And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Werkinger, and our engineer, Wagner Roberts, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll look at the role of the Washington, D.C. Mayor's Office of African Affairs. We'll discuss the impact of the office as it seeks to improve the quality of life for the District of Columbia's diverse African-born population. That's next, right here on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of The Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical jam. I guarantee.
We When news breaks, VOA News is there.
VOA.
Around the clock, listen to VOA newscasts on the top of each hour, along with our detailed news shows and analysis.
VOA News. We're online at voanews.com.
At voanews.com.